I just want to say what a joy it is to be back. I don't know what it is about me and hurricanes, but last time I was here, I was running from Katrina. Do you remember that Labor Day weekend? I showed up and I left here and took 600 pounds of supplies and somehow got a friend when I was here, talked to one of my friends, and we had a cargo jet fly into Washington Parish. When I was leaving here on Monday, Labor Day, after preaching here a couple weeks ago, I got a hold of our sheriff where I used to pastor, North Shore region, this side of Slidell and Bogalusa area, Franklinton. When I got over the sheriff, he started crying. He said, "Preacher, we feel like God has forsaken us." For 8 days, they didn't even have federal help. And I preached a message here called "My Response Determines My Reward" about your response time. I said the government's response time wasn't real fast there. But since being here, I was there, God blessed, and all kind of things. Then Thursday, we started hearing that this new thing was coming straight at us, because I live in Alexandria. I don't know if you looked at your computer today or saw the little Doppler, but the band of rain where the most rain and all that has just kind of stayed all day in the wind is where I live. Last night before we left, I decided to bring my whole family, got all three kids, our nanny, have my wife, got all of us. We just evacuated. So you better look out tomorrow. It's going to be wild around here. When the three super kids show up, you better hide everything. But Alexander loved it last time. He said he went home telling his little brother, he said, "You're going to love it. You can run the whole service." So it was a great breakthrough. I won't say this in front of him, but God's hand's been on Alexander now. He's been feeling a call for about a year. Many times when I pray, he's only 11, he'll lay down and pray with me, and in our motel rooms and traveling around, he'll travail, and I'll be over there crying and travailing. He'll be on his face. He has a towel just like I have a towel, and he'll be travailing and praying and working in the altars and all that. But when we went to pastor from traveling and being in India, he was in India with me when he was only 3, started the church in Calcutta. We went and pastored a church that when we got there was quite traditional. Now, after we left, when we took it, it was about 130 people. When we left, there was about 430 people in 6 years. And it was the only intercultural, multicultural thing, entity, not just church, business, anything besides the school and that whole parish that was integrated when we left. You don't understand how big a deal that was. That was a big deal in that area. But we took it. It was quite traditional. And he traveled with me. And he was about, I think Alexander was 4. We went there. And he used to run the aisles almost every service. And one of the old deacons cornered him up. I didn't find this out till about 3 years after it happened, or I would have probably been in jail. But one of the old deacons cornered him up and told him that kids didn't run in that church and he needed to sit down and shut up and behave himself. And something wilted in his little heart and his little spirit. And from then to now, even though he's prayed, he's ministered, worships, and all that kind of stuff, he had not ever ran in church again until we were here a few weeks ago. And I don't know if you noticed, I don't know if you noticed on Sunday morning, he was just kind of holding back. But on Sunday night after his nap and me talking to him saying, "Bubba, I don't care what you do. You just," all of us, he told me that story again. It was still on his mind. I don't want you to think that I'm not full of the Holy Ghost or Christian, but there's a part of me just want to get a hold of that old deacon and kick his tail. I don't mind telling you, because stopping for years the desire to worship and praise. And so thank God you broke something in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And he's been going crazy ever since. Hallelujah to God. You rubbed off on him. But it's been a joy. But we got news, and so we were packing up to come here. And my wife, she believes. It's funny. Somebody asked me one time. They said, "Were you telling the truth, or were you just preaching?" My wife believes what I preach. So Thursday afternoon, she told me. She said, "I'm going to go buy. Do I need to buy olive oil, or will any kind of oil work?" I said, "What do you mean, baby?" Because we own a 3-bedroom, 14-by-80 mobile home where our nanny lives, and then we have a 2-story home that we lease, and both of them are trees everywhere. She said, "Well, they say it's coming here, and the winds are coming, and I'm going to get oil, and we're going to plead the blood and pour it around the perimeter of our house." And I looked at her and said, "Oh, baby, that, it ain't going to be that bad." She said, "You're the one that preached it." So we went down and bought, and the only kind of oil they had in kind of a squirt bottle kind of deal was like Wesson oil, the big old thing of Wesson oil. So Thursday night, she anoints it. She goes out to the campgrounds. They thought she is crazy, her and one of the ladies that's her friend. They were walking around our trailer squirting oil all over the ground and all over everything, squirting it on the trees, pleading the blood. Guess what? Not one limb came down. And that trailer, that area, got a call today. But then I got convicted. So before we left yesterday, I decided to do it at the house. Our neighbor across the street on the other side is a wonderful Southern Baptist pastor. Well, his oldest college-age son just happened to be standing outside on the porch talking to what I think was probably his girlfriend, because he's always talking to his girlfriend on his cell phone, and his dad don't like him talking in the house, so he talks outside on the porch. You know what I'm talking about, so nobody here. He's standing outside, and he sees his fat Pentecostal preacher neighbor walk outside with this big bottle of Wesson oil and start squirting it all over everything. I'm going around the whole yard. He's just standing there shaking his head like, what is this guy doing? Then I start praying over the trees, because we moved there in that neighborhood because of all the big old trees. I said, Lord, not one limb, not one twig in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm not making this up, folks, but I feel like shouting. Guess what happened yesterday afternoon? An entire tree across the street fell in the living room, the den, the master bedroom, fell through the roof. Not a limb, but a whole tree. But they called me and said, Pastor, don't worry. You don't even have a limb in your yard. Everything's all right. I'll take Jesus over Allstate any day. I'll take Jesus over State Farm any day. Hallelujah to God. I do call him all that. Bless the name of the Lord. But that's kind of what's been going on in my life. And kind of exciting. The young man that called me today, he knew what I did. He said, it works, Bishop, it works. He said, my God, it works. He said, we should have told everybody about it. I said, anybody that's a born-again, blood-bought believer ought to know how to plead the blood. Hallelujah to God. Stand with me tonight, and we're just going to jump right into the word of the Lord. I do give honor to our wonderful pastor and spiritual overseer, who is traveling around the world right now. We honor him and his lovely wife and love them so much. And I don't take it lightly being invited into his pulpit, because I don't know if you know anything about your pastor, but I don't think he'd just let anybody up here with him gone. And I appreciate that privilege, and also Brother and Sister Freeman being so kind to us, Brother Freeman being left in charge. That's a compliment also, sir, because I don't think he'd just leave anybody. And so good to see all the children's and the family and everybody. And now, what do you need? I just turn around and ask your neighbor, what do you need from this service tonight? We know Sunday's coming. Somebody wrote a song years ago, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. We know tomorrow morning, we know there's going to be people here getting the Holy Ghost. There's going to be miracles, signs, and wonders. We know tomorrow night's going to be just one of those wild New Life Birmingham, get down and huck a buck for Jesus. We understand all that. But what do you need tonight? I asked that while I go to myself. I said, Lord, what do we need? What can I do? And the one word that began to come to my mind is the word understanding. Somebody need. The Bible said that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Many preachers have misquoted that concept, is that faith comes by preaching or by logos. But if you would study the Greek text, it is not logos, but it is rhema. Rhema is not written word. Rhema is inspirational, creative word. Rhema is a personal word for you. Faith comes when you hear a word that pertains to your situation. When God speaks a creative word and gives you understanding, say understanding. Tonight, what would be better than a sermon is for God to give somebody a personal word. What would be better than to get up here and for me to be prolific and pontificate and just get you screaming and running? Because you're going to scream and run anyway. You're going to go half crazy. I heard you almost scared Jeff Arnold to death. I asked Jerry Dillon. Y'all remember him? He was here a while back. I heard y'all scared him. I asked him. He said, my God, that's the wildest church I've ever been in my life. I said, they don't scare me. I think I scare them. But we do want understanding tonight. So if you have 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14, we're just going to do an exegesis and get through the word. I'm not going to scare you. Just chapter 12, verse 1, chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, and chapter 14, verse 1 and 2 also. 12 and 1 of 1 Corinthians. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now, that's not saying that he doesn't want some of you ladies to have an ignorant brethren. Okay? Some guys are cute, they're just ignorant, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about spiritual gifts. I would not have you ignorant. Okay? Got that? Then chapter 13 and verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Say tongue of men and angels. Or another translation says language of men. Men's languages or the language of angels. And have not charity and become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Then chapter 14 and verse 1. Follow after charity. Say love. And desire spiritual gifts. Say spiritual gifts. But rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God. Could you say this with me? He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit, say in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. Angels therefore must speak in the language of heaven. I know that just blew some of you away, but I'm just going to talk to you. We can say it in another way in our tradition, and we call it a heavenly language. But a heavenly language is simply the language of heaven. I'm simply going to preach to somebody. The angels are talking about you. The angels are talking about you. Father, give us understanding and revelation. Somebody's about to understand what's going on in your life right now. It is not just the devil, and it's not just your mistake. Heaven is gossiping about you. Heaven is talking about you. Heaven is talking about your destiny and your future and your anointing. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord and begin to give God? Father, I praise you. I glorify you. Somebody clap your hands and give him glory. Hallelujah. You can be seated. The first thing that you need to understand is that the enemy only attacks you on the level of your anointing. If there is no great attack, then you do not have a great anointing. People that the devil never messes with, I don't even want to hang around you. I would rather sit by the most broke, disgusted, the person that fights pornography and perversion and lust, the person that's about 30 seconds from cussing. I'd rather sit by you in his service, because the greater your struggle, the greater the anointing that is inside you. I've never met some laid-back, perfect person that God ever used. When I find somebody that God's going to use, he'll pick a Judas, he'll pick a Jacob, he'll pick a Peter, he'll pick an Elijah, he'll pick an Elisha, he'll pick a Moses, he'll pick an Abraham, he'll pick a liar, he'll pick a murderer, he'll pick an adulterer, he'll pick somebody on the backside of the desert any day. Oh, you're not hearing me. I don't think you understand in here. It's amazing. Amazing to me that David's an adulterer and called a man after God's own heart. Abraham is God's friend and he's a liar. It's amazing to me that the man that held the keys in his pocket and preached, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, Jesus had already called him a devil. Could I tell somebody that just because you've acted like the devil don't mean you don't have a destiny? I don't know who I come to preach to. I need to preach in here. I come to rebuke the spirit of condemnation. Look at your neighbor and say, tonight, we're going to get some understanding. Tonight, condemnation's going to break off our mind. Tonight, inferiority's going to break off our mind. There is a difference between holiness and perfection. You cannot be holy. God is holy. And when he covers you with his grace, then you step into divine perfection, not human perfection. I wish I was preaching to somebody that believed in God's holiness, in God's faithfulness, in God's unmerited favor. I'll break it down. It's amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Could I go back to that last statement? Just because you've acted like the devil don't mean God can't use you. Because Peter acted like the devil, Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Just because you've acted like the devil doesn't mean the hand of God's not on you. Who am I talking to that since God called you, you've acted like the devil? Since God anointed you, you've acted like the devil. Since God put a purpose in your heart, you've messed up, made mistakes, and now the devil's come against your mind and your emotions, trying to beat you down and tell you that you'll never be on the level where you was. I wish you'd turn around and tell the devil, "No, I'm not going to be on that level. God's about to take me to a higher level." See, many of us are talking about levels when what we need to talk about is dimensions. Simon didn't go to a new level. He went to a new dimension. He went from being Simon to being Peter. His entire identity changed. Some of you are worried about just getting better when you need to become new. The anointing that God is wanting to put on some of you is that old things are about to be passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Who am I talking to in this that the anointing of the Holy Ghost, I'm not just going to a new level, I'm going to another dimension. I'm getting to a plane where I'm not even the same person. I don't even walk the way I used to walk. I don't talk the way I used to talk. I don't look the way I used to look. I don't act the way that I used to act. You can be seated. Look at your neighbor and tell them, God doesn't use perfect people. God uses chosen people. And if I was still here, I would start shouting. I don't care if I'd backslid 7 times, I'd start shouting. If I'd been married 3 times, come in with a black eye, I would start dancing. Because God allowed you to be here to hear a rhema, a word of hope from a preacher tonight, to tell you that if God's not finished with you yet, then everything that has happened up to now is just preparation for your anointing. Who am I preaching to in here that could understand that everything you have gone through, that your failures are not final, but your failures have been equated into your future? That means that everything that's happened to you, the good, the bad, and the ugly, are about to work out to the good of the God that called you. The pain of your abuse, the fear of your rejection, the terror of your torment, the insecurity of your abandonment is seeping down into your character. That when God puts an anointing upon you, and when God shows you his perfect work, look at your neighbor, tell him, your failures have been equated into your future. That simply means that God sees the end from the beginning. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the ending. God may not have done it, but he can turn it around. What the devil meant for evil, he can turn it around for good. I don't blame it on God, but I do tell him, fix this mess. You didn't give me this mess. You didn't cause this to happen. But since it happened, I raise my hands and say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The angels, am I making any sense yet? Just getting started. Say, the angels are talking about you. I never understood this. I've traveled, and you know that. I've traveled. I've been in India. I've been in Europe. I've been in Asia. I've been places where I like the food and places where I almost starved to death. By the way, talking about starving, where's my good brother? Do you notice anything, Big Daddy? 3 weeks, can you notice? I've lost almost 12 pounds since I was here last time. This joker, in one little restaurant meeting, he motivated me. He looked at me and said, it's easier than you think. I went home and went to LA Weight Loss Center, and the lady looked at me and she said, can you say this after me? I am obese. I said, the devil is a lie. But she got my attention. There have been places where I have eaten the tail off of a goat, to where they cut the tail off and they take the hair and strip it, and all you have is the long gristle, and they lay it across the rice and they put it in front of you to honor you because you're the big buana. I have been places where I've had the monkey hands cut off the monkey, and the monkey hands laced on top of the rice put in. My father always loved me so much to say, oh, I am not worthy of the respect. Give it to my eldest son. My eldest son, give it to my prince here. Give it. I look at him and say, you a crazy old man. He said, oh no, let him eat it. He'll eat fish eyes. He'll eat anything. I've been all around the world, and I've heard all kind of stuff. The thing that blows my mind is I want to tell you that what we have is real. If anybody ever tells you that this is just a bunch of hype and emotion, you tell them they don't know what they're talking about, because there is a language of the Spirit. I've heard people speak in English in Indian villages where they didn't even speak Hindi. I've heard people speak in English in African villages where they couldn't even speak French or any of the other languages. But when God would fill them with the Spirit, they would begin to say things like, I will bless the Lord at all times. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. And what I love it, when people get the Holy Ghost, I've heard this all over the world, people that couldn't speak any English, when they're getting the Holy Ghost in a beautiful accent, they begin to say things like, Jesus is Jehovah. There is one God, and Jesus is his name. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Jehovah. That'll light your fire even if your wood's wet. That'll make you want to run and jump and shout. Are y'all awake out there? Can y'all hear me? See, I never know whether y'all getting it or not, because y'all shout whether you understand it or not. Are you getting it? So in that realm, traveling around overseas, I've heard English, but there is a language that I call the language of heaven. It is the same tongue that I've heard it bumping into young people in this church. I've heard it all over America. I've heard it in Europe, Africa, Asia, all in jungles. I've heard it in places you can't make it up. People that have never seen each other, never been in a Pentecostal church, when they get in a language of prayer or travail, it's not the initial infilling of the Holy Ghost, but it's that language of the Spirit, what we would call the gift of tongues, that travail and warfare, speaking to the heavenlies and the angels, binding on earth and binding in heaven, loosing on earth and loosing in heaven. Does anybody believe that around here? It's a heavenly language. I've heard it. You can't make it up. It's not baby. It's a fluent language of heaven. It speaks of the mysteries. It wars in the Holy Ghost. You pray things you don't even know what you're praying. You speak things. Did anybody know what I'm talking about? You'll be in your car praying in the Holy Ghost, and angels are being commissioned in the Philippines. You'll be praying mine in the clothes, and the angels will be walking up and down the corridors of the classroom where your children attend the church. It's the language, say the language of heaven. But what never really dawned on me, and this is so deep it's going to hurt some of you. Now laugh, you're supposed to laugh, because everybody knows super's not deep. You guys have Danny Hood and all those good preachers in here. I come in here for comic relief. That's why they have me, because I'm just a little simple. So everybody just calm down, because this is something just hit me, brother. If the angels speak a language of heaven, and if a man that speaks in tongues, 1 Corinthians 14, speaks mysteries unto God and to angels, demons are fallen angels. That means that demons must speak the language of heaven. So that means that demons can understand what the angels are saying about me. You're not listening to me. That demons already know what God is saying about this church. Hell already knows the anointing of the future. The devil knows 30 years from now what the will of God is about this church, because God operates in the realm of omniscience and omnipotence, and already in his mind he knows all things. So he has given his angels charge over you. Does anybody believe that God has given his angels charge over thee, that the angels of the Lord encamp around about them that fear him? That means that God has given his angels his plans for your life. So the angels come into your life, and the
demons begin to hear what the angels are saying about you're not hearing me. Some of you little young ladies in here, angels are talking about the missionary you're going to marry. Some of you young men, angels are talking about the church you're going to build. Some of you women out there, angels are talking about your backslidden children are going to turn hell upside down. Hey, there's some of you in here can't even pay the bills, and the angels are talking about what's going to happen when you become a millionaire. There's some of you, there's some of you got sickness in your body, diseases in your blood, but the angels are looking at you because they already know a miracle's on its way. They already know that God has sent his word and healed them. I wish I was preaching to somebody. So what's going can I just teach for a minute? Look to your neighbor, say understanding. Understanding. I didn't understand this till last year. I was traveling around. I preached here. I forget when it was. I'm losing track of time. I've been doing what I do now 16 months in my lifetime. I've traveled 11 years. I've pastored 11 years. Now I'm going on my 12th year traveling. So I don't know. People ask me what I do. I just tell them I'm unemployed. How do they say, you're a pastor, you're an evangelist? I say, no, I really don't know what I am. I'm just unemployed. If you got food, I'll show up. That's basically what goes on. I was preaching last year. I flew to Kansas City, okay, like this. The pastor was out of town. Y'all don't do anything like this, okay? Don't do what I'm about to tell you, okay? But the pastor was out of town. I preached on Sunday. He trusted me. I tried to keep it calm, dignified Sunday morning, big city church, hallelujah, preach a deep word from the Lord. People are praying and crying in the altar. There's a girl, she's praying, she's a little Filipino girl. I get ready to step over her. She's fell out in the aisle, so I'm just going to step over her to get to somebody else. When I get in mid-step, have you ever kind of been in mid-step and realized that you just made the wrong step and you're fixing to fall down? Because in mid-step, the devil that was in her activated and she decided to come up. Now, you weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. You know what I'm talking about? This woman, she didn't just come up. I mean, she come up straight, just straight up. And she had her fingernails out like they were going to scratch my eyes out. She and I knew when she come up, it was a devil. This wasn't Africa. This wasn't India. This wasn't the Philippines. This was Kansas City, Missouri. And this young lady had a devil. She didn't have a mental problem. She wasn't just wanting attention. She had a real devil. I did what any Holy Ghost filled preacher would do. By the time she got to scratch my eyes out, I grabbed her wrist and body slammed her on the floor. I didn't know what else to do. Don't laugh at me. I didn't know what to do. Before I knew it, she'd come up and I just woof in the name of Jesus. She just kind of boom on the floor. Then she was coming at me again. By this time, I had my breath in the name of Jesus. We began to wrestle with that thing. Took about 20 minutes. I'm talking about she's rolling around, all kind of stuff. Devils come out of her. She began to speak in a beautiful language. Peace come on her face. And I went to the room and said, whoa, what was that? You know, that don't usually happen in America because we've trained our devils how to come to church. Oh, yeah, we put them on the leash. And oh, you don't want to hear that. You know, I'll fornicate the rest of the week, but if you'll let me look holy on Sunday, I'll come in. If you'll let me, I won't dare cut my hair, but if you'll let me go around and play on the internet, you don't want to hear that kind of preaching. I don't mind giving you 2 hours a week, devil. If you'll give me the rest of the week, I'll just train it to come to church. Is that all right? Am I preaching to anybody? So I left there. I left there with another revival. Same thing happened. This time it was a man. I don't have time to get in the whole story, but all I'm going to tell you is when I walked in front of him, tears shot out, and before I knew it, he began to regurgitate, and devils began to come out of him. It was so easy. You say, how do you know it was devils? He was probably just throwing up and had mental problems. This is how you know. You want to know? I'm sure you know because it's a spiritual church. Because when they spit it up, and it has a sulfur smell, and when you take the towel and you wipe it up, when you open the towel, there ain't nothing there. If it's vomit and regurgitation, somebody just had an emotional fit and they worked themselves up into a frenzy. But if it's a devil, Brother Freeman, when you open it up, there's nothing there. It's disappeared. I've seen it all over the world. It happens no matter what color, what race you from, whatever it is. It's gone. It happened. It come out. Boom, boom, boom. This guy began to speak in tongues. God delivered him. They told me later, they said 3 weeks ago, he held his mother hostage with a gun to her head. He was going to kill his mama and kill himself. But when he got in the presence of the anointing of the Holy Ghost, there's not a devil in hell that could stop him. I wish I was preaching to somebody. All you need to desire is deliverance. It's not going to take a battle and a screaming and a holler. All you need is deliverance. The name of Jesus is powerful enough to loose you if you want to worship Jesus. Am I making any sense? Go to California, I'm talking about by this time I'm getting nervous. By this time, I think I'm Gordon Poe or somebody. By this time, I feel like a devil chaser because everywhere I'm going, these demons, and I don't want that kind of ministry, okay? I like miracles and finances and preaching faith and people throwing money on the offering, that kind of stuff. I don't want people rolling around screaming and spitting up stuff, and I don't want that kind of reputation. People think I'm crazy. I'm doing a prayer line. Here she comes, brother. She's the last one in the prayer line. I should have known by then. She come. Okay, anybody got on high heel shoes? I don't mean them little things. I'm talking about high heel shoes. Do y'all preach against them here? I don't see any. I'm talking about them spike. I'm talking about them California high heel shoes that look like they're going to hurt you. This girl standing in California high heel, she's the last one in the prayer line. When I go to lay hands on her head, the back of her head touches the floor. Okay? She's standing in high heel shoes, tall, dignified. She does not bend back and go back. I'm talking about straight back. Whoop, bend back, touch the back of the floor. When that happens, that is humanly impossible. Some of you look at me like I'm crazy in here. I like to see one of you girls try that. You'd break your neck, break your back. She'd go, whoo! And all of a sudden, I knew the moment she went back and her head touched the floor, I knew she was coming forward. I knew her claws were coming out, Brother Freeman. I knew she was coming for my eyes. It was deja vu. I already knew what was going to happen. She was coming for me. I didn't know what was happening. This time, I didn't body slam her. This time, I just stepped aside and grabbed one of the women in the church and grabbed her and said, you take care of it. It's a woman right there. And Sister Vonnie Lopez, Merle Ewan's daughter, she comes and said, I command you in Jesus. And the girl hit the floor. Before you know it, her hands locked on the floor. She couldn't move her hands. They began to plead the blood. That demon began to growl. It was a deal for about 20-25 minutes. Then boom, it come out. She got the Holy Ghost. After three times, I was getting a little nervous. And I went back to the motel room, shut the door, turned everything off, got my music playing, sit down, took my towel, said, now, Lord, we having problems. Because I didn't ask for a deliverance ministry like this, and I don't know what's going on. But here lately, everywhere I'm going, these demon-possessed people are going half crazy, and I don't know what's happening. He said, it's simple. I said, it is. Explain it to me. He said, the angels are talking. I said, what do you mean? He said, I have decreed that 2005 will be a year of dominion and restitution. And the demons know that if they can't stop you by midnight 2004, I put a word in your mouth. So everywhere you go, they are attacking you on the level of what they have heard me say. And they're trying. And this is what he said. The greatest attack always comes before the greatest breakthrough. So keep on preaching and keep on praying, because the angels are talking and the demons are hearing what God's about to do. Did you hear me, Birmingham? 2005 is a year of restoration and dominion over the devil. If the enemy's ever stole anything from you, I wish you'd praise God right now, because restitution in biblical terms means five times. I'm going to take it back five times. That's what biblical restoration means. That's what biblical restitution means. I'm going to take it back five times. Five times what he stole me. Five times my health. Five times my marriage. Five times my children. Five times my anointing. Five times my ministry. Five times my vision. Five times my passion. Five times my strength. Five times my victory. Five times my joy. You ought to praise him up in here. Anybody feel like praising the Lord in here? Dominion and restitution. He said, I really look at your neighbor and tell them the angels are talking about you. This is what I come to preach. I didn't come to preach what God told me prophetically 2005 was. I come to tell you the principle that God taught me on all this. I begin to study and realize that if demons are fallen angels, that they hear not just in my life or not just prophetically what God was saying to the entire church, but they know exactly what heaven is saying about you. So if heaven has picked out somebody for you to spend the rest of your life with, then hell will try everything it can to cause that to fall apart before you can get together. Oh, you're not hearing me. If God has decreed financial blessing for you, then the enemy will cause everything he can to break your body, your mind, your emotions, to destroy you financially, to make you where you're not even able to manage money, to lose your reputation and make you unhirable, not because you got a money problem, but because you have a destiny problem. Who am I talking to up in this house? So the enemy will begin to attack kept you on the level, not of your failure. Say, not of my failure. Many of you think what you're going through has to do with your failure, that it has to do with your past. What would happen if revelation hit somebody that what I'm struggling with is not about my past, it's about my future? And hell is attacking me on the level of my future, not on the level of my failure. Hell is attacking me on the level of who God says I am, of who God says I will be, of what God says he's going to do in my life. If the demons are attacking you, they are attacking you because they have heard about your future. They are trying to hinder the future that the angels are talking about you. Could the angels already know that church you're going to start, Brother Freeman? Could the angels already know what God's going to do? So the demons begin to hear God's plan for you. This, I feel like preaching. This is what's been about to blow my mind. Is it possible then that hell knows more about me than I know about myself? And the devil believes in my destiny more than I even know about my destiny. And if you really want to learn how to have victory, you need to look at where hell is fighting the hardest and realize that that's the area of your life that's the greatest threat. If the enemy is fighting your lust and your addictive personality, you need to realize that God has got something in you that hell is trying to destroy. If you are fighting physically, you need to understand there's a key in your body. There's a key in the strength of your hand that hell is trying to shut down. He's trying to destroy your faith so that you can't preach faith to anybody else. He's trying to destroy your victory so that you can't shout the victory with anybody else. Who am I preaching to in here? That the enemy believes more in you than you believe in yourself. So he's attacking you on the level of a prophet when you're just an insecure young person. I'm preaching to people in this room that are being attacked on the level of an intercessor when you're not even stable in God yet. There are some of you being attacked on the level of a millionaire and your rent's due. Some of you are being attacked on the level of a miracle and you're so eat up with symptoms you don't even have the strength to lift up holy hands. Hallelujah! Would you raise your hands and open your mouth and begin to cry out unto God? Woo! Somebody pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. My God in heaven. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. What this means is that what I'm going through is not because I'm a failure or I've messed up, but it's because the enemy is attacking me on the level of my destiny. Now stand with me, stand with me, stand with me. Musicians, come, stand with me. I only want to preach to the people in this room who feel like you have failed, messed up, made mistakes, don't have enough faith, because there are situations in your life right now that are falling apart mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. So there's this huge gap of spiritual insecurity and inferiority that hell has somehow tried to bring in on you. And even though you want to shout and run and praise God, you don't know what God's doing with you and what is my destiny and what is my future. I'm going to tell you how to find your destiny. Behind your biggest giant is your destiny. When David survived the lion and the bear, he was taken to the giant. Behind the giant was a kingdom. When David was able to take the giant down, could I tell you, the bigger your giant, the bigger your destiny. The greater the attack on your past, the greater, you got to hear this word, the greater that you struggle with your past, the greater destiny you have in your future. Who am I preaching to? The angels are talking about you, and demons are fallen angels. So the demons are attacking you exactly, and you don't understand because you don't see your destiny. You don't even know you have a destiny. Who am I talking to in this room? You don't even know you have it. You don't even know a miracle's coming. You don't even know a financial blessing's coming. You have no idea the concepts and deliverance and mindset that God has about you. So here you are beat up and feeding. I don't understand, Brother Sue, what I'm going through. It's not fair. If you could ever understand that favor ain't fair, and if you could ever understand that it has nothing to do with being fair, it has to do with your destiny and your future. And what you're going through is not about you. It's about what God is saying about you. It's about what the angels have encamped around about you and are saying about you. The angels are talking about you. Now, if I preach to you tonight and you'd say, preacher, the greatest attack of my life, there's things going on I haven't understood. And you mean you're telling me the way to identify my destiny and my victory is identify the area where I'm hit the hardest is the area of my greatest spiritual strength? Yes, I am. I'm telling you that the people that have been greatest used of God in scripture are the people that had to fight through their personality. They had to fight through their addiction. They had to fight through their proclivity. They had to fight through their desires. They had to fight through their feelings. They had to fight through their fears. They had to fight through their worries because they were destined of heaven. If I'm preaching to you, come to this front right now and raise your hands to heaven. The angels are talking about you, and I'm about to release a spirit of revelation, a spirit of understanding, a spirit of understanding and release in this house. Brother Freeman, men of God, pastors, help me pray tonight. Elders of the church, help me pray tonight. There's a victory. It looks like everybody's coming. Hold on a second, music. It looks like everybody's coming. It looks like all over this house that the angels have been talking about you because hell's been fighting you. It looks like all over this room. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, come on, somebody. It's here right now. The unity is here. Deliverance is here. I'm telling you, you can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost in here right now. God wants you to be able to begin to speak mysteries in the spirit. Saint of God, would you begin to pray until you could speak heaven's language? Would you begin to pray until you could speak the language of heaven? Would you begin to pray until you could speak the language of heaven? I'm praying understanding for somebody. I'm praying understanding for somebody. Come on, pray, 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 pray. I'm praying understanding for somebody. I'm praying understanding. The greater your attack in the name, the greater your attack, the greater your anointing, the greater your sickness, the greater your miracle, the greater your financial trouble, the greater your blessing, the greater your addiction, the greater that hell attacks you with desire, the greater the deliverance and stability that God has declared. That's it. Pray until you can pray in the spirit. Do you feel like praying for somebody? Do you feel like grabbing somebody's hand and praying in the spirit? Because when you pray in the spirit, you're speaking mysteries. You are speaking mysteries and loosing the will of God. Loosing the will of God and releasing the work. I pray against every plan of the enemy. I pray against every, come on, somebody needs to pray until something looses off of you. I pray against the plan of hell, the plan to destroy your marriage, the plan to take your children down, the plan to destroy your faith, the plan to kill you, the plan to cause disease and affliction to enter into your body. I pray against it in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord. That's it. Pray, 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 pray right now. Pray right now. No weapon formed. Is understanding coming? Keep praying. Is understanding coming? Is understanding coming in your mind and your understanding? Is understanding coming? Understanding of your future, understanding of your destiny, understanding of God's plan in your life in the name of Jesus. My God, church, destiny is birthing in here. Destiny, would you pray until you can feel destiny birthed out of you? Don't you walk out of here condemned and beat down and afraid and insecure. The devil is a liar. That's why hell's come after you so hard. That's why you're fighting with your life. That's why addictions and fears and lust and perversions and pride and sin and hurt and bitterness and rebellion have been coming after you, because the angels know. Stop. God's doing something in here. When God leads you, turn around to a sister or a brother. When God leads you, turn around to a sister or a brother and pray mysteries over them. Pray mysteries in the Spirit, that the Spirit make intercession through you. Let the Spirit make it. Ah! Deliverance is in here. Let Spirit make intercession through you. Let the Spirit make, come on, come on, come on, come on. Don't stop. Deliverance is in this house. Deliverance over every past failure. Deliverance over every past proclivity. Deliverance over everything that would pull you down. Deliverance over things that would weigh you down, that would destroy you, that would lock you up. The devil is alive. I need the stop it. I'm asking you to pray one with another, lady to lady, man to man. I'm asking you to find somebody, and as we begin to just go a little deep from the Holy Ghost, I want you to pray until you can begin to release mysteries on them. Begin to release in the Spirit. Begin to pray in the Spirit what heaven is already saying about them. Begin to say in the Spirit. Echa ondo rebechande boshe ikamande rechata la bocho ramachata rede echa ondo rebeheshe. I want you to listen just for a minute, ever I close. I need you to understand this concept. Just let your eyes close, your mind think. Think. Something Brother Sutton has taught this church to do, many churches don't do, is think. Open your mind to understand that the area of your greatest weakness and attack, the area that you may have even failed God in up to this point, is the area of your greatest victory and anointing and breakthrough. No, no, listen. If you struggle, if finances is your big deal, then money is what God is going to use to bless you with. If you struggle with sensuality and lust, instead of condemning yourself, understand that there is a compassion and an ability, a heart that is so on fire that God can use a personality that is so on fire and passionate. But the flip side of that is the passionacy of the flesh. And if you could let God deliver you and break you through into your future, the area of your greatest weakness is the area of your greatest anointing. I don't think you're hearing me. Peter's greatest weakness turned into his ministry. It is only people
that learn how to endure long term. Say endure long term with a mess that end up having a message. Because a message is just a mess that has aged. And you have matured through it and survived. And if anybody here would let God give them the strength to mature their mess, God will give you a message. Dear God, help me. He will give you the ability to reach back and be able to say that these are they that overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now get this concept right now. The angels are talking about you. So to stop what they're saying about you from happening, hell has had to hit the area of blessing that the angels have let slip what God is saying about you. So right now, the area that you're struggling with the most is the area of your victory. Fix that, and you will catapult yourself into your destiny. If it's some guy pulling on you, cut him off, and it'll catapult you into your destiny. If it's a career trying to take you away from God, say, no, I can't do it. I'd rather work minimum wage and be saved than to follow this and go to hell. It'll be amazing when you make the practical decision to slam the door on the area of attack and temptation and torment. I don't have time to make this plain, but I need somebody to understand what I'm saying. Am I making sense? The area of your greatest attack is the area of your greatest anointing. If you receive that, I want you to... Now listen, we always worship God on the level of our blessing and his worthiness. I quoted it earlier. I bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I constantly worship because of the goodness of the Lord. God is great, greatly to be praised. We do. What would happen here at the last few moments of this service if you would begin to glorify God on the level of the attack that hell has brought against you? And if the worse hell has hit you, the more you would worship God. It'll blow the devil's mind. If you would just for a few minutes begin to, I don't care if you got to scream, if you got to run, if you got to roll, if you would give God the credit and say, devil, instead of thinking that you're winning, I'm looking at your attack as a prophetic word that God's not finished with me yet. Because if God was finished with me, I wouldn't be struggling like that. If God was finished with me, I wouldn't be fighting like this. If heaven was through with me, I wouldn't be going through hell like this. So I think I'm going to bless the name of the Lord. Hey. Musicians, get out from those instruments. You don't need instruments right now. It's time. Hey, it's time for somebody to get a little crazy. Because you said, I thought God had forsaken me. How could God forsake me if hell's trying to fight you this hard? If you're fighting perversion and lust and pornography and insecurity and rebellion and hurt and greed and envy and bitterness and fear and negativity and sickness this hard, God must not be through with you yet.
Amen. The word is in the house tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you reach over and touch somebody beside you? Amen. And pray for them.